You are fighting a war over the reality of your soul and the health of your soul. A war with who? Here's the amazing part. It's a war, notice the text, within ourselves. This is not an external war. This is an eternal war with the passions of the flesh.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. We're thankful that you have joined us here today. We're in the middle of our series that we're calling Hope and Holiness, walking verse by verse through the pages of 1 Peter and seeing as God's Word is expounded that our hearts get changed in the process. Well, today's message is all about conflict. It's all about war, really. Now, joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie. And Robbie, you've got a question for our listeners today, don't you?
Yeah, just wondering, of all those who are listening right now and just to care about you all so much, do you ever feel like you're kind of living day to day and you find tension within yourself? Do you ever kind of struggle through a day and say, man, there seems to be a battle of good and evil, and not just without, but maybe most importantly within? Of course you do, because that makes you human. But I want you to know you are not alone at all. The Bible promises and predicts that there's a war going on with the passions of our flesh, which wages war against our very own souls, the text says today. What an amazing and important battle that we are called to fight, that again, God's word is not silent on, but very clear. And so no wonder this is so difficult, because our flesh fighting against the Spirit of God who lives within us, and then we desire to see Jesus Christ reign and be so victorious on a day-to-day basis as we seek Him. So today, it's on the topic of war. But again, not a war externally, but a war internally. Again, important truths as we desire to live the Christian life for Jesus Christ.
All right, the title of today's message is entitled, Hope and Holiness Get Serious. We're looking at only two verses from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Let's go to our message now, and our teacher, once again, Pastor Robbie.
Bible's open. Now we're ready to get in God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, lots happening with us. And here's our sermon title this evening. It's this, Hope and Holiness Get Serious. Hope and Holiness Get Serious. Of course, hope and holiness is the theme of 1 Peter. Hope being our destination, it's glory, it's heaven, it's the reality of our salvation. And when you know your destination is hope, then your calling and your direction then is holiness on the way to the fulfillment of this hope. Hope and holiness get serious in 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12. So as I was reflecting on our text this week and reflecting upon our title this week as well, I was then reflecting on the verses previous to our text tonight. And I was thinking about, well, if hope and holiness get serious in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 2, does that mean the verses that were previous to these verses were not serious? Well, not at all. I mean, from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to, it has been serious. Last week was an intense text. Last week, living stones and Jesus Christ being the cornerstone and chosen and precious and the rock of offense and the rock that people stumble over, and we're a chosen race and a royal priesthood. That was a very serious text. But I think in some ways, our passage tonight, in some ways, the temperature gets turned up a little. In some ways, the seatbelt gets a little bit tighter. And in some ways, I believe the stakes get a little bit higher. In some ways tonight, hope and holiness get a little more serious. If you've sat under my preaching for any period of time, you will know that one of my big beefs with the North American church is complacency and apathy and lethargy. But as I say that, let me be clear, that's one of the big beefs or grievances of my own heart as well, complacency and lethargy and apathy. What happens in our day so often is we get lulled into what I like to call lazy boy spirituality. You know, where your feet are up and you're reclined in a position of comfort. You got a drink in one hand and the remote in another. And it's here that we take lots of spiritual naps and we can become entertained by Christianity light. And it's in this lazy boy spirituality, we often put a sign over our hearts that says, do not disturb. But the great damage of lazy boy spirituality is this: it's nowhere in the Bible, and it's devastating for our souls. Why? Why? Because Christ did not save us for apathy. He saved us for urgency. Christ did not save us for complacency. He saved us for passion. Christ did not save us for worldliness, but rather for godliness. And everywhere in Scripture, you're going to find this, where there's Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, where he says, the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ compels us. He says, listen, that we may not now live for ourselves, but live for him who for our sake died and was raised. It's so clear. The Bible is so clear that our lives in Christ are to be of urgency and passion and for godliness. And so in our text tonight, hope and holiness get serious in a new way. Again, why? Why? Well, here's why. Because life is short. We're going to learn the war is real. The war is real. And we're going to learn this, and two, lives are at stake. Life is short, loved ones. The war is real and lives are at stake. That's pretty serious. And so we pray for that right now. Let's just pray as we begin to get into God's word officially. Father, many, many things shared already tonight, which are so great. But my prayer, my simple prayer is this: you will stoke the fire of this church. Will you stoke the fire of hearts in this church? Will you stoke us, Lord, and move us, Lord, from things of apathy or lethargy or complacency? And would you stoke us to passion, and stoke us, Lord, to urgency, and stoke us to see the reality of what's happening around us and the opportunity for the kingdom? It is so great, Lord. Our time is so short. The war is on, oh God. But you, Lord, carrying us and are with us, will do great things. So now, Lord, take this passage, make it real, cause us to see, cause us to be serious, Lord, but cause us to be excited at the same time, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, here we go, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, Peter says this: Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Here's serious point number one. It's hope and holiness, and here we understand this. Number one, here's where I find out my hope and holiness are at war. Number one, my hope and holiness are at war. Now, don't be mistaken. Hope and holiness are not at war with each other, of course. Hope and holiness, rather, are allies in this war together, fighting against the enemy. Again, look at verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war. Does your Bible say that? Which wage war against your soul. This is a loaded verse here, but please notice this first of all. This is a serious verse. In this verse right here, we are learning that a war is being waged. So often as your pastor, one of my greatest goals is to simply trying to get you to see what the Bible is so clearly saying. And why do I try to do that? I just try to show you, here's what God's word is saying. Why? Because we get lulled asleep. We start to take spiritual naps. We get complacent and we forget how clear God has been in his word. That's why we got to preach the word, so we wake up from our spiritual naps and wake up to the reality of what God is doing and what he needs us to know. And so verse 11, you could read this casually, or you can read this with wisdom and you could understand what God is saying to you. And here's what God is saying to you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You are at war. You are fighting a war over the reality of your soul and the health of your soul. A war with who? Here's the amazing part. It's a war, notice the text, within ourselves. This is not an external war. This is an eternal war with the passions of the flesh. Notice which verse 11, which wage war against your soul. So there's a war for our soul right now. Every believer in Jesus Christ and all throughout this world, there's a war raging for the souls of individuals, and it's a war for or fighting for believers, unbelievers to become believers, but also for believers. There's a war within every day as we fight against the sin that is within us. But let's back up a little bit before we get too far, because I want us to see, as we approach the reality of this war, I want us to see the hope in verse 11, and I want us to see the holiness in verse 11. Again, hope is our destination. Holiness is then our direction. And that's what this whole verse is about. Again, don't miss what's so clear to the Holy Spirit. Again, look at verse 11. Verse 11, first word is beloved. Beloved or beloved. Some translations miss the power here. Some translations say, dear friends. Now, that's a little bit disappointing, or it's a little unfortunate, because it's more than that. This isn't a horizontal love Peter's speaking of here. This is the form, again, of the word agape. This is not a horizontal love. This is a vertical love from God to his children. So a proper understanding of that first word there in verse 11 is beloved by God. Those who are loved by God. This is a love flowing from the preceding verses. This is a love from verse 9. This even last week. You are in Christ. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for his own possession. You belong to God. Loved ones, this just in, God loves you. And he's chosen you, and he's made you king. He's made you part of the kingship of Jesus Christ. You've been set apart again for holiness. That's pretty amazing. And you are his. You are love. So when you understand, I'm chosen, I'm royalty, I'm holy, and I'm his, that's a little bit of hope for your front pocket. You know what I'm saying? There's hope all over the place. When Peter says, beloved of God, he's saying, this is you. This is who you are. This is your standing. But notice again in verse 11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. There's Peter again. He seems to be obsessed with this truth. He's obsessed with this truth of being an exile, understanding that this world is not my home. It makes me feel better because I feel like I'm obsessed with this truth too. But it's everywhere in Scripture, and here it is again. The truth is what? This earth is not our home. The question I have, how many times does the Bible need to tell us to convince us? How many times is it in Scripture to let us understand we are not living for this world, we are living for the world to come? Another translation for these terms of sojourners and exiles is aliens and strangers. I urge you as aliens and strangers of this world. The meaning is clear. As believers in Christ in this world, the theological reality is we are foreigners. What Peter is screaming out all over 1 Peter is this, ready? The world is temporary. The world is temporary. The world is temporary. Here's some more biblical evidence of this. Hebrews 13, verse 14. And I love verses like this. For we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. This will not last. We live for the city that is yet to come. It's called heaven. This is why we're exiles. This is why we're aliens. This is why we're strangers. This is why we don't ultimately fit in. Because once we're saved in Jesus Christ, we are made for something so much greater. What's Peter trying to say to the church? Don't put all your eggs in a basket with a big hole in the bottom of it. They just keep falling down. Don't invest your life in that which won't last. Invest your life in the things that matter, where moth and rust do not destroy. Don't you see in verse 11? Beloved, sojourners, exiles, Peter's shouting out hope, and notice the urgency that goes with it. I urge you, he says. That word urge in the original is often used for people going through significant trials. So in some ways, Peter's like, hey, listen, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Trials are going to come. This life's not going to be easy. You're going to have to be ready. He's like, I urge you, be ready. As those who have hope in Christ, live as such. It's going to be tough, but get ready. Urgency to our lives because of the reality of who we are in Jesus Christ. There's hope everywhere in verse 11, but notice there's holiness everywhere in verse 11 too. Look what comes next. I urge you to abstain from the passions of the flesh. Look at that word abstain. This word encompasses holiness. Why? Well, where there's true hope, there's the pursuit of holiness. Abstain is a put aside. Abstain is put distance between. One commentator defines abstain as it implies a rupture from a former association. It's understanding that in Christ, I love when you can say this truth as well, the former passions of my life that used to be killing me, I am now dead to them. This is what the Bible is saying to us right now. The things that used to destroy you, but seek to destroy you still, you must abstain from them. You must identify the passions of the lust that want to kill us, and you must seek to kill them. We understand, as Proverbs tells us too, that when you hold fire close to your chest, you're going to get burned. Abstain is, I don't want to be burned. Abstain is, get that away from me. You know, just this week, my youngest daughter picked up a cup of hot chocolate, which she thought was a cup of cold chocolate, and she went to drink it, and she got burned, and she started to cry, and she was like, get that drink away from me. And you try to get her even to look at that thing, and she's like, no, like this, you know, like instantly, it's the burning. It's the same thing as when this thing comes, it burns me, get away from me, because you will hurt me. Abstain from the passions of the flesh. I love about abstain here. Abstain is, no matter how hard the storms try to blow and run my life upon the rocks, I won't allow it. No matter how hard they come and they're seeking to take me down in my life, my marriage, my family, my ministry, whatever it is, I will not allow. By God's grace, I will resist. By God's grace, I will defeat it because I trust in him. We've seen an ever-present hope in verse 11. There's a crystal clear call for holiness in verse 11, but now look at what the verse is really trying to get at here, the war that hope and holiness are fighting as allies. Again, look at verse 11. I urge you as sojourners and exiles, abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. So hope and holiness are at war with the passions of the flesh. But notice what the text really says. It's these evil passions that are waging war against your soul. Who's instigating this war? The passions of the flesh are. Who's attacking? The passions of the flesh are. Who's the one on the offensive in this case? It's the sin within us that is trying to take ground in this war over our souls. See the word war there? The word war is a military term. It's like a military campaign. There's a military campaign called sin that's designed to try to destroy your soul. This isn't friendly fire. This is a malicious assault on the core of my being and yours. Hey, this just didn't wake up. Wake up to the reality of the war that we are in. You're like, Robbie, you're so serious. No, the Bible is so serious. And sometimes every now and then people come up to me and some way they say something like that. Dude, why are you so serious? I like to have fun too, trust me. But the problem is I keep reading verses like this and I think I should be more serious. I mean, this is serious. We are at war. I mean, how much clearer can the Bible be? Which wage war against your soul? Sin has a military campaign trying to kill you and bring you down and ruin your life. And guess what? At times it's working. It's serious. It's significant. A war is being fought. You know, it's alcoholism that often destroys the liver. It's the sexually immoral that will often contract things like AIDS. Every 24 hours, 350,000 people across this world will contract a sexually transmitted disease. Now listen, these are all physical consequences of sin. They're physical consequences of sin. What the Bible speaks of here is way worse. As awful as physical consequences can be, there's nothing that trumps the spiritual wreckage of the soul. And you and I have to see when the soul starts losing, then life gets very, very ugly. And life starts to hurt really, really bad. See, when the war is raged and waged against the soul and sin starts to win, this is when marriages fall apart. This is when children get really, really hurt and messed up. This is when unforgiveness torments a soul. This is when anger starts to run our lives. This is when idolatry starts to rule our affections towards emptiness. This is when things like lust render us emotionally bankrupt. This is when pride and vanity rob us of any sense of true worth and beauty. This is when things like slander hollow us out from the inside. You see, this is why the world cries out. The world's longing for satisfaction and meaning. Why? Because sin has them on their deathbed, whether they know it or not. You know, I've seen many people dying physically who have tremendous spiritual joy. I've seen many people suffering physical consequences for whatever, but inside in Christ, they have unbelievable spiritual joy. But I've yet to witness someone who's dying spiritually with any true, real sense of joy. Because this only happens through one person. His name is Jesus Christ. And the person who knows Jesus Christ is the person who's not dying spiritually. It's the person who's alive spiritually because of the blood that he shed. See, but this is why, again, this isn't me talking right now. This is the Lord talking. And the Lord's saying right now, this is why as believers, we got to wake up and smell the war. We got to wake up and smell the thing that's trying to take us down, because the war is on whether you know it or not. And the worst thing that can happen to the church in our day is we don't realize the war's on. And there's so many people in the church that get lulled to sleep, taking their spiritual nap, lazy boy spirituality, feet up, drinking hand, remote in the other, and they're coasting through life. And meanwhile, their soul is being depleted because they're not aware of the reality of the flesh that's taking ground. That's a problem. Listen to this quote by Dwight Edwards. I love this so much. This really, really works for me. He says, "One man has well said, it is not enough for the gardener to love the flowers. He must also hate the weeds." Bam! That's good. Because I hate weeds. You know that. Some of you know that, man. Dandelions, look out, man. I'm coming. I'm already planning my strategy for next year. All right? Lewis, he says this. "This principle holds true not only in the lives of gardeners, but also in the lives of Christians. You can't just love the flowers. You got to hate the weeds, because the weeds take over the garden if they're not addressed. Can't let a weed grow forever. It's ugly. It's disgusting. It's unhealthy." His point is, you got to understand, if you're going to wage this war, you can't just love the great things. You got to also hate the things that are trying to get you and trying to hate you. Don't you see, every day is a battle for the soul. You need to live this way always. Lazy boy spirituality, listen, will be ambushed by your own flesh. Satan will take advantage of that as well. You can't fight the war when you're half asleep. This is the biblical warning over and over again. You say, "Well, what do I do? You got to rally the troops, man. You got to rally the troops. You got to stand ready for battle. You got to get your weapons. You got to get ready to fight. You say, "Well, how? Ask questions like this. Where are my thoughts going these days? What am I concentrating on? Where is my time being spent? Where's the money that God has entrusted me with? How am I spending that? What are my greatest passions? What habits have formed in my life that are good, that are not good? What needs to be destroyed in my life? What literally needs to be destroyed in my life because it's taking my heart away from a pursuit of Jesus Christ? What needs to be relinquished in my life? What do I need to forsake in order to go for Jesus Christ?" John Owen said, "Be killing sin or sin will be killing you." This is what's happening here right now. The reality of the war. Again, you're like, "Rob, you're serious," because the Bible is serious. And hope and holiness are at a war with sin, a war over our soul. You're like, "I need some more, Robbie. I'll try to give you some more," right? You say, "What do you do?" You got to reinforce hope and you got to reinforce holiness in your life. You say, "How do we do that?" I got a few things on the screen for you here. I got five ways. Five ways to see this battle won within your life. It's not going to be stuff that's going to be new. That's the point. The first thing you got to do if you want to fight this war in a way that's filled with wisdom and strength and strategy, you got to put away sin. It's that simple. It's called repentance. But you got to know where the sin is. You got to think through your life and find out again, where are the idols? Who are the people? I mean, it's just interesting when you look through your life and the Holy Spirit, if you ask the Holy Spirit to do this, he's going to start showing you, even right now in this sermon, he's probably starting to do that. Who are the people that I'm not loving? Who are the people that I'm hating? That's not going to go well for us. What are the habits that are flat out sinful and I know it, and that's not working for me? You need a plan to cut off the hand, to cut out the eye, Jesus says. You need a plan to take seriously, to repent of the sin and move on. This is something I have to do on a weekly basis, a daily basis, to look there and say, if I'm serious about what God's serious about, I need to reinforce hope and holiness. It starts with saying, I got to hate the weeds, man. I got to rip them out of my life and to see the blessing of that. Here's the next one. Put away sin. Got to put on Christ. Put on Christ through prayer. I mean, again, it's so basic, but that's the point. To sit down and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I need you to be my clothing. I need to put you on. I need the righteousness of Christ to be seen through my life. I need your strength. I need your help to wake up each day and to pray this way. Lord Jesus Christ, I need you to lead me in this way. Prayer, how key is this? How important? How basic? Are we doing it? Are we doing it? Because lazy boy spirituality doesn't pray a whole lot. It's too busy just enjoying life. Thirdly, I got to do this. I got to pick up the word. I got to pick up the word. You know the word of God is called the sword of God, the sword of the Spirit? Did you know that? Did you know that? Yes, you did. So imagine that. What's a sword used for? To kill weeds, man. Right? Right? Like even right now, think of a sword. That's an offensive weapon. I haven't used my sword in years. Probably not doing so well, are you? The sword of the Spirit, right? Right? You got to get this out of its sheath, and you got to... Like that, you got to use this. It's so powerful. This is one of the only weapons we have, prayer and the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, to use that to take down strongholds, to take that to find wisdom, to go forward for Jesus Christ. I mean, just think about it. The sword, I'm not using my sword. My sword's dull. I haven't, my sword's on the shelf. What are you doing? You can't fight the battle without your sword. Simple, important. This is serious. You need your sword. You need your sword. Well, I don't, come on. Come on, man. You need the sword to fight the battle. Pick up the sword. Fourthly, here's the next one. This, passionately worship. I wrote down soul power. Yeah. You know what? You know, even this week, how do I say this? I just got wrecked. Oh, I don't want to go into it. Anyways, just it was a period. It was hard. And the Lord used worship in my life to break me, to renew me. I was sitting on my counter, man, I was sitting on my counter at home on Monday on my day off, and it was a hard day that day. I can't explain it, man. I can't explain it. Just I have a hoodie on, and I was eating lunch, and the worship songs were playing, and then all of a sudden, God knew I was so devastated in different ways. Then all of a sudden, the Lord, through worship and music, He opens up my heart. He lets me know how much He loves me. And in that, I sit there, and then tears just start hitting the countertop as I sense the presence of my God, the wonder of my God. It's amazing when you're in the place of passionate worship, you're not sinning. It's like the soul starts to win for the things of Jesus Christ. When you engage yourself for the passionate pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ and His exaltation, and good things start to happen. I mean, Luke chapter 1, Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and the Spirit within me rejoices." My soul magnifies the Lord. When you passionately worship Jesus Christ, your soul is moving towards Him, and sin is being left behind. The last one I wrote down is this. You got to pull out the right passport. You ever gone to the border? And you try to cross the border, you pull it out, and to your horror, you're like, I got the wrong passport. You're not going very far, are you? Not at that point. What's our passport? Our passport is heavenese, right? I'm getting a lot of mileage out of this right now, but listen, here's my passport. Here's my passport. Let's get a close-up on this one. This is very important, okay? Look at it, okay, right? Watch. I'm a citizen of Canada. Not. I'm a citizen of heaven. See that? See that? Look at this here, too. Look at this. Look at my passport. It says nationality. Heavenese, baby.
Thanks so much for listening to Live in the Light. We found this ministry to be such a blessing to us as well as our listeners. Our mission here at Live in the Light is to see the radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. But that's only made possible by you, our listeners. We're kept on the air by your generous gifts and donations. If you're interested in giving to Live in the Light, you can do so on our website at liveinthelight.ca or give us a call at 1-844-225-4448. And that's all for today. Join us tomorrow at Live in the Light.